Now we're going to come to the point where we look at God's word together. So grab a Bible. We're going to continue on in Hebrews 11. We've kind of finished the book of Hebrews in the morning and in the whole sweep of what we've been doing. But you probably know, if you've been here before, that we've been going slower through Hebrews 11. We've kind of been arrested by so many verses along the way. We kind of hoped, we thought we might finish it before Easter, but we didn't quite. And so we're just taking the next couple of Sundays to just finish off Hebrews 11. And there's three verses I want us to focus on this evening, and it is Hebrews 11, verses 29 to 31, and it's page 1209 in the Bibles you've just been given. And if you don't have a Bible, do raise your hand. Excuse me. Someone will bring one to you. So three verses from Hebrews 11, and we've called this faith or presumption. Faith or presumption. Let's read, then I'll pray. Great chapter of faith. We've been seeing many heroes of the faith. And so we come, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Short verses, so I'm going to read them again. Make sure we really get them into our hearts. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Let me pray for us. Lord, I ask that you would help me and that you would help all of us, as we were singing earlier, to have our eyes opened, that we might see you more clearly, and that we'd be people of faith, not presumption. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen. There's a story which you may have heard before, and I might have told it before, I can't quite remember, about a lady who had gone to a bookshop, and she got herself a Bible, and she was sitting outside the bookshop, and she was reading the story of Exodus, how God opened up the Red Sea, and the Israelites went through, a bit like what we've just read a little summary of. And she was going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is amazing. And this kind of cynical man, it wasn't a Christian, came into the bookshop, and he stopped just before he went, and he said, what are you going on about? You know, what's this praising the Lord for? And she said, you know, you'll never believe it. God parted the Red Sea completely, and, you know, and these Israelites were able to walk through the Red Sea. Amazing. And this cynical guy said, yeah, it's not the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea, you know? It was the Reed Sea. It was only 2 inches deep. That wasn't a miracle. Anyone could have done that. You could have done that. You know, they just walked through it, and, you know, it was not a miracle. No, nothing to praise God for about that. So as you can imagine, the woman was a bit kind of, oh, you know. She hadn't really been reading the Bible long, and she was a bit flat by that. But she kind of took it and read on, and the man went inside the bookshop, and he came out a bit later. And this woman was there going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's amazing, it's a miracle. And he kind of went, what on earth is it now? And she said, it's just amazing. The whole Egyptian army was drowned in 2 inches of water. And, you know, we have people, don't we? And we hear it in the news, people who will kind of just try to rubbish faith and say, oh, it didn't work out like that, and there's another way of explaining it. But the whole thing with Hebrews 11 has been a call for us to be people who, when we read God's word, believe God's word. Whether it's things that happened in the past, like it talks about in verse 3, and it's talking about the creation of the world, things that we weren't there and didn't see, or whether it's things in the future, as we looked at with Abraham and Moses and so many others who were looking ahead to their reward, looking ahead to heaven. There's a belief and a confidence in God's word. And so we're going to be looking at these few verses, and we're going to see that they come from these great stories in the Old Testament that we can learn from, but stories of faith, and they're stories which have within them often two things happening. often within these verses, you've got both faith and presumption. And we're going to be looking at these and trying to learn and understand what some of the differences are and when they look alike and how can we be avoiding some errors. So are you ready for a little bit of, first of all, spot the difference? Are you ready for a bit of that? I don't know if you know much about spot the difference, but we're going to think about when faith and presumption look alike. Okay, so here's a little spot the difference up on the screen. And I want you just to turn to a neighbor or friend or something. See if you can find any things that are different in these two pronouns. If you don't know how to play spot the difference, then you'll have to spend that little time explaining to the other person what spot the difference is. Okay, so there we go. Spot the difference. Okay, this is definitely one of those where many minds make light work or many hands make light work. So I'm assuming now with everyone in the room, we're going to nail these. I don't know that I've even got them all right. So here we go. Anyone want to point one out? What? Yeah, Sheila? His bow tie, that was definitely one of them. Anyone else? The B on the square, anything else? The star on the ball? Simone, the rabbit's ear? Yeah? Anything else? Top of the boat. Was this? Oh, Maria, we didn't even pick that one up beforehand. There we go. That was a new one. And this was the last one that I didn't pick up that Maria got. The little bot of his foot wasn't fully kind of covered in. So there you go. And you know, isn't it interesting? They actually look first glance the same. Look back at the story, verse 29. What these verses describe are two people, two groups of people, walking through the Red Sea that God had parted. First the Israelites, and then the Egyptians. Now, when God parted the Red Sea and told the Israelites to go through, what do you think they must have been feeling in their emotions? So they stepped into these pillars of water. What do you reckon they must have been going through? They were probably shaking and thinking, is this really okay to do this? You know, is it going to be okay? You know, and I imagine they kind of went through a bit like this. And in fact, we're just going to watch a little clip here from the Prince of Egypt, which kind of you have this sense of them even trying to persuade their donkeys to get through. And it wasn't quite so easy. So here we go. Let's just watch a little bit of this. This kind of brings it to light. It's a clear YouTube clip. So if it's not as clear, sorry about that. But here we go. I think this should work.
This staff you shall do my wonders.
anything, and I want to find out what happens next and watch the rest of the film. But turn to Exodus 14, because that's where this is taken from. It's the actual events, almost certainly written down by Moses, who passed through that Red Sea, recording them. Exodus 14, page 71. As the Israelites went through and God parted the water, there were like pillars of water on either side, it says. Where is that? Verse 29, the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Verse 29, they went through and it must have been an awesome thing. No one had ever done anything like that, walked through water like that. But with that open in front of you, now remember back to what the Egyptians must have been thinking. Here are these people that they've been chasing, walking through this Red Sea, and once that flame of fire got removed, which it did at a point, then the Egyptians, as you read through Exodus, it's clear, they chased afterwards, and I bet they thought, if they can do it, must be possible for us to do it, right? And so they did exactly the same, didn't they? They just went through the Red Sea. But let us read on and see what happened to the Egyptians. Because it says on verse 30, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. But what happened was that the seas had closed over the Egyptians after the Israelites had gone through. And so the Israelites saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. When the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. Spot the difference. What was the difference between what the Israelites did and what the Egyptians did? What was the difference? The difference was that God told the Israelites to go through the Red Sea. And so they acted, even however scared they might have been, they acted in faith. Because faith is not just doing whatever we like. Faith is obedience to God's word. Faith is believing God and trusting him and saying, I'll do that. Now the Egyptians, were they told to go through the Red Sea? No. The Egyptians presumed. They thought, well, if it's okay for the Israelites, it'll be okay for us. And they presumed that they could do what the Israelites did, but they couldn't. In fact, it was fatal. It cost them their lives. But it looked the same, didn't it? And in the Christian life, what we're called to is we're called to faith. We're called to do things by faith and in faith. And what we must be careful of is not thinking, well, so-and-so did it. And that was a great step of faith. So, I take for an example here maybe. Who's heard of George Verwey? He's come and preached here actually a couple of times. Many have heard of him. He's a man who leads a mission organization there. We've got a picture of him. And he's real kind of got great faith and God's kind of called him to do a number of things. And one of the things that God called George Verwey to do was to buy a boat, a big boat, and get loads of Christians to come on it and sail around the world and distribute literature to the far-flung places of the world. And you know, I hear that story and it stirs me and I think, wow, that's amazing. But if we thought, well, you know, George bought a boat. God got him doing that. Maybe we should get a boat as Holland Road. We're near the sea. We could park it down the end of the road, a big one, all get on it after a Sunday and do things. You know, if we did it because he did it, we might end up, you know, just, you know, it'll be in chaos. Because God might not have told us to do that. We might be presumptuous. We need to act in faith to what God has told us to. So we need discernment here. We need discernment to spot where is this faith and where is this presumption, even in our own daily lives. But here's what can really help us. So often when we think of doing something by faith, we think of things like, should we buy that boat or that house or take this job or marry that person? Or, you know, we think of those particular specific things, if you like. The specific will of God, sometimes theologians refer to it as. But there's so much in the general revealed will of God that we need faith for, and we need to act in faith. The most obvious example is actually something that Tim, when he was speaking on this just before Easter, it's actually Easter Sunday evening last week, referred to, that these symbols of the Exodus, the Passover and the parting through the Red Sea, are symbols of how God saves. As we believe and trust God and his means of salvation, then we're saved. And so the first and greatest thing that we must by faith do is believing Jesus. I think we got it up here on the screen. Believe in Jesus. That takes faith. It's not presumption. Don't let anyone think you it is, because people around will say, well, that's a bit of a presumptuous thing to do. But by faith, you and I need to receive him and his saving of us and hold on to that. But even on this point, let me just clarify, because sometimes what can happen is that you and I can spot someone else believing in Jesus, someone else following Jesus, and think, oh, great, if I go to church with them, I'm like a Christian. You know, or if I grow up in the same house as them, if they're my, you know, if they're my parents or they're my spouse, or, you know, if their faith is, if they're believing, then that's kind of, you know, I'm okay, aren't I? You know, I'm kind of going along with them. I'm kind of following them. Are you sure? You're okay? Are you sure you're not being presumptuous? That just because you're kind of with them, that you'll be okay? Isn't that actually a bit like what the Egyptians were doing? Just following the Israelites, assuming it will all be okay. Now, when you read the Bible, you see that we all need to make our own response of faith. It talks about, Jesus said, you know, to all who believed him, to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. God doesn't have any grandchildren or any kind of nephews or nieces, as it were. He's just got children. You personally have to believe him for yourself. So just even in that point, you might need to just discern, spot the difference. Is your faith, or is it copycat faith? Is it presumption? But there are other things that are revealed plainly in Scripture that I think we need to have faith for ourselves. They're things like, you know, witnessing, sharing the gospel with other people. We need faith to do that. We need to believe it. And so we need to be inspired by these guys going through the Red Sea and think, well, I'm not sure I've ever done this before, but I'll have a go. You know, or like praying out loud or giving generously. You know, as we come up to the World Missions Gift Day on May the 7th, you might have been someone who's given regularly. Great, go for it. You know God blesses you when you do that. But you might have been someone who's really never ventured out in generous giving before. It takes faith. And you might be thinking, what do I need to demonstrate faith in? That's a great thing to demonstrate faith in. Or you might be praying, like particularly here, I'm thinking praying out loud. So often people think, I can never do that. But it takes faith to believe that actually if I pray out loud, going to bless other people, God's going to hear it, he's going to answer, and he'll help me with it. It doesn't matter how the words come out. And just go for it. So we need faith in these things. And what we need to realize is that acts of faith don't have to just be the buying the boat things. Amen? Acts of faith can be these things that we know from Scripture are right to do. And often what I've found is that people like George Verber, who've learned to have great faith for the boat things, have first learned to do these things. Do them faithfully and well, with courage, obedience to God. So if you're there thinking, God, I want to do great things for you. Should I do this? Should I go and be there and do that? Are you doing these? You're reading this. You're applying it in your life. And are you doing that really as you? Or are you just doing it in a kind of copy way? Hoping that you're going to kind of, by proximity, get blessed? Or is it really your own faith? So that's the first thing. Spot the difference. And it's really important to make sure we get that right. And the second really thing I want us to talk about is something a bit similar now. This is not quite the same as spot the difference. This is related, but it's in our next two verses, and it's spot the odd one out. Okay? I don't know if you've ever played this game before, but it's actually a lot easier than the other one. And this is when faith looks silly, okay? So here we go. Spot the odd one out. We've got a little thing up here on the screen. You have to go and talk to your friend again and see if you can do it. Spot the odd one out. Okay. We'll stop right there. It's a really difficult one. I hope you've got it. Any guesses? It's the triangle, isn't it? It's the blue triangle. It's so obvious. It stands out like a sore thumb. You know, spot the odd one out. And as Christians, your workplace, your school and your college, I bet you maybe sometimes feel like this, you know. Spot the Christian, the odd one out, the one who believes in Jesus, the one who's like prays and, you know, tries to share the gospel with his friends. No one else does that. Hey, that's me. And you maybe feel silly. You maybe feel like you stick out like a sore thumb. You maybe feel like you're the odd one out when faith looks silly. Look at these guys back in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says this. It's talked first about the Egyptians and the Israelites and the Red Sea. And then it goes on in verse 30 to another great act of faith. But this time it doesn't look like the presumption thing. It looks completely different. The faith that these Israelites are called to is this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after people marched around them for 7 days. You see, God had told the people, the Israelites, as they went into the promised land under Joshua, he said, march around 7 times. Once a day, and then on the last day, march around 7 times, okay? Now, I've found watching sometimes little kiddie films, as you can tell, just helps me get these things in perspective. And if you're not familiar with any of the children's work that Mike and Sarah do and others, then this might just help you engage with some of the things that children are kind of watching in the life of the church, because this is VeggieTales, right? Now, VeggieTales, I've never heard of before I had kids, but VeggieTales is a whole kind of Christian Bible stories told in kind of drama by using vegetables as characters. So when you see a French pea, you know, they're being someone. And when you're seeing a kind of a squash or a tunip, that's being someone else as well. The French peas here are the soldiers on the top of the walls of Jericho. And the Israelites are obviously the kind of people marching around carrying the ark, okay? So we're just going to watch a little clip. And here's what I want you to see, just how silly these guys must have looked, okay? So just a little clip, and then we'll go for it.
Long before the people of Jericho noticed the Israelites.
What are you doing?
We're going to knock your wall down.
By walking around in circles?
Yes. It's not because we're crazy or anything. Our God told us to do it this way.
Oh, that's a great idea. You go ahead and keep walking.
Keep walking, but you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking, but she isn't gonna fall. It's plain to see your brains are very small. To think walking will be knocking down our wall.
You silly little pecan, you silly little peas. You think that walking around will bring this city to its knees? The awesome powers of this wall we've clearly demonstrated. Ah! But out here in the hot, hot sun, perhaps you're dehydrated? Ah, pity them, Philippe. Ah, mais oui, Jean-Claude, mais oui. Won't you join me in my irritating little song?
It would be an honor.
Keep walking, but you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking,
but she isn't gonna fall.
It's plain to see, your brains are very small. To think walking will be knocking down our wall. Keep walking, but you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking,
but she isn't gonna fall.
It's plain to see, your brains are very small. To think walking will be knocking down our wall. It's plain to see.
And we enjoy it, but doesn't it sometimes feel like that? When you turn on the telly, you open the paper. And it's like sometimes the world is laughing at us. Silly Christians. Silly Christians. You think what? You believe that? Because God told you to. God is God. It's no God. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about acts of faith in our time that seem so silly. These are not specific. These are general, revealed acts of faith that we're called to. Believing that God will grow his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that of the increase of Jesus' government there will be no end. It is written, I believe it with confidence, I know it to be true. But you talk to someone in the city, talk to someone in the nation and get them to tell you what they think about the church. Oh, it's declining. A couple of hundred years, it will be no more. Rubbish. But you and I sometimes need to look silly if we're to plan for that, if we're to believe for it, if we're going to trust God's word for it. What about this one? Act of faith, believing that sex is for marriage. That the world mocks at that. You think, what? But that's what the Bible says. That's what God said is for our best, for the good of his people. And it takes faith to believe it, particularly when those around mock and think it's silly. What about this one? Believing, as Hebrews 11 says, that God created the world. Yeah, right. Don't you know we're celebrating 150th year of evolution and great scientific thought? Yeah, God, we don't need God anymore. Don't you realize that, Christians? We've figured it out. Silly Christians. It takes great faith to believe that when people are laughing at you. And here's one little thing from Rahab that it takes great faith for. And I want you to see here in verse 31, just look at what it says about Rahab. If you've never read the story of Rahab and of the Battle of Jericho, it's in Joshua 6. But here, look what it says about Rahab. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, she was a prostitute. She was living in a city of non-Israelites. These weren't the people of God at all. And she, in this mighty city, thought these little Israelites, these kind of group of people, she'd heard that God had done amazing things for them. And she thought, I'm going to put my lot in with them. It's been a bit of a kind of faith step there to think, these guys are marching around the wall, I'm going with them, not the people in the wall. So she does this. She welcomes the spies into her home. Look back through the list in Hebrews 11. Abraham going in faith to another place. He didn't even know where it was. And being prepared to sacrifice his son. Moses kind of giving up the treasures of Egypt. You know, huge things that inspire us. Joshua, you know, marching around the city and the walls tumbling down. And Rahab welcoming some blokes into her house. Isn't it amazing? She's in this hall of fame of faith. Don't you find that amazing? Here's the thing I think I've been, you know, blessed by and challenged by Rahab. It's believing this, that God can do through the little things, big things. Believing that little things that you and I do can make a big difference. So when you welcome someone into your home, that has potential to make a huge difference. When you ring up a friend and say, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? That has potential to make a huge difference. When you pray, hope you do. Sometimes we think such a little things are going to make a difference. But when you pray, it makes a difference. Faith takes that and believes that. And you know Rahab's life, she's not just mentioned here. She's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. She actually married a guy and they gave birth to a son called Boaz. And Boaz was someone who was so, I think, impacted by his mother that he thought, you know, I should be someone who's always on the lookout for where God's at work around me. I should be someone who welcomes those who are outside the family of God. And so Boaz looks out for this woman, Ruth. And Ruth is come to harvest grain in his field. And Ruth ends up being shown kindness by Boaz. And then Ruth ends up being the grandmother of David, the king of Israel, who ends up becoming the king and one who's on the throne. And then the generations follow that to Jesus. Do you know that? That Ruth's mother-in-law was Rahab. Amazing. A little act of faith. And believing that little things can make a difference seems silly, doesn't it? You know, when you're with your neighbor and you think, I must just do that act of kindness for someone. And they think, you what? Why do you, you know? You know, sometimes they go, oh, that's really sweet of you. Sometimes they don't do the whole silly thing. Oh, that's really sweet of you. I just need to go and work on my home, making it look bigger or better, or watch that program. Or why do you keep doing that? Why don't you just put your feet up for a while? But believing that little things can make a big difference. And I want to honor people of faith in this room who week after week after week do little things that do make a big difference. Small group leaders, youth leaders, people who do Friendship Center, tadpoles, people who come and pray, people who do work in places where they're looking for opportunities to be sold in life, little things that make a big difference. So, spot the odd one out. Faith sometimes looks silly. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, finally, I want us to see. Still under this kind of spot the difference. Look back at Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Pause on those words with me. What happened to the Egyptians who were presumptuous? What happened to them? They drowned. They were killed. What happened to the rest of those in Jericho who were laughing at the people of faith? What happened to them? They were killed. They were destroyed. Not because they weren't Israelites, but because they were disobedient. In fact, it's clear back in Genesis 15 that God had actually waited until their sin had reached such a point of being worthy of judgment until he let the Israelites out of Egypt. He was actually waiting 400 years. Did you know that? If you don't believe me, turn to Genesis 15. See, this is not the whim of God to decide to destroy a city here. This is God's plan. It looks in Genesis 15, 16. He said, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. These were wicked people. God saw it, knew it. He'd been watching it. And there came a time when judgment was right, deserved. What we see here is that these guys who are laughing on the top of the wall, they look sensible. Presumption looks sensible, doesn't it? You know, particularly when there's lots of it, it looks sensible. But actually, it's very, very, very dangerous. People who put their security in the fact that everyone around them seems to be saying the same thing, or puts their security, like I was talking about this morning, in their job, or their big home, or their big car, or bank account, or popularity. People who do that, they look so sensible. The world says they've seemed to got it sorted. And it appears so, you know, it appears not the odd one out. But when you look from God's perspective, those are the people where there's a glaring misfit. They've put their trust, their security in the wrong thing. They've been presumptuous. And it will be fatally costly at some point unless they realize that the only way to safety, the only secure way, the only sensible way is the way of faith in God. It actually only appears that the way of faith is the silly way. And it only appears that the presumptuous way, the finding security in other things way, is the sensible way. It only appears that way because we haven't finished the story yet. It only appeared that way in the little clip from the film because that little micro story hadn't been finished yet. And this is the thing we need to remember with humility, but with faith and courage, because God has said it, that faith is a matter of life and death. We need to recognize that humbly, because our faith is not in our own good works or our own righteousness or our own worthiness. Our faith is in that God can save, that he can help. But it is a matter of life and death. It is a whole lot at stake. And that's why it takes faith to order your life in such a way that you're thinking, I want to share this good news with my friends. To order your life in such a way that finances are released to extend this kingdom of grace, this saving good news. To order your life in such a way that you don't just fill it with TV programs, but you take time to cry out for your neighbor. To order your life in such a way that though it might look silly to others now for a short time, yet you are convinced, because God has said so, that it is a sensible way to live life in the wrong run. And that there is a heaven to live for and a hell to flee from. We always need great humility and courage when we speak of such things, and grace and sensitivity, and there's timings and places to remember those things and even to speak of them, but we got to remember them. The world might laugh, but God is working his purposes out. And Jesus is the Savior of the world who we must look to and by faith follow, even when it's costly. He said to people, didn't he, take up your cross daily and follow me. So church, take up your cross. Live by faith. Look ahead. Look in the Word. Believe it. And look for those opportunities where your life, though it might appear laughable, becomes a channel of blessing, of salvation, of goodness, the love of God and the mercy of God, his compassion for the world. That's what I believe God is calling us to. So, sometimes we need to spot the difference. We need to look in our life. Is it faith or presumption? Sometimes they can look really similar. Let's not be fooled. Let's be discerning. But sometimes faith and presumption look worlds apart. You can spot them a mile away. And as people of faith, we can sometimes feel like we stick out like a sore thumb and we're the odd one out, and it's very silly. But we need to look at these passages again and take courage. Live by faith in these things and in the way we live our lives and the manner of our love and our grace and our humility. Say, no, we believe God's word. We don't believe it because it's our opinion. We don't believe it even because we like it. Although I do. Not easy. Don't always like to walk up and down my street and think about the truth of it, but I know it's true, and I like the truth. I want the truth. I want to share the truth. But ultimately, we believe it not because we like it or it's easy, but because it's God's word. And that's what living by faith is. It's building your life on God's word. So I'm going to pray for us as a church right now, and I'm going to pray that if there are any here who you're living your life in a presumption that you're okay because you're kind of with someone else, that you'll realize that and you'll kind of flee to Jesus for yourself. You'll say, Jesus, I'm coming to you in faith right now. And I'm also going to pray for us as a church more generally, that we would be those who by faith are willing to sometimes look silly. Not for silliness sake. There's no merit in that. No merit in that. Silliness is not faith. But faith sometimes, for a short time, can look silly. But that as we believe God for things, we'll step into them in faith. So let's bow our heads, and you might just need to first turn from any presumption in your own life. So I'll just pray this prayer and echo it with me, and then I'm going to pray more generally for us as a church. Lord, I turn from any presumption in my life where I've been merely copying others rather than following your word. I turn from things that may be sensible but aren't really secure. And I turn to you, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I want to build my life on your words, on you, the rock, in your name, Lord. Just with every head bowed, if there's someone here tonight and you weren't sure whether your faith is your faith or maybe you're copying your parents and you just prayed that prayer in your heart, before I pray for everyone else, I just want to pause and mark and say, I, as your pastor, would love to know that so I can encourage you and spur you on in that faith. So if that was you, just raise your hand or look up with your head and catch my eye. And I'd love to just see that if that was anyone here tonight. And do you need to just make it sure? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else who wasn't sure? Lord, look around this room and I see many friends, many people I know of. You in their heart for their own faith. Lord, I pray for this one who's just responded. Lord, give them a great joy and release tonight that they're saved, that you have them, Lord, that it's nothing that anyone else is doing or they're not just kind of going through the motions, but Lord, that they want to follow you. Lord, give them that assurance. But now for us, Lord, together as a church, we just declare before you, we want to be a people of faith, a people who believe your word. And so, God, in these general things, in witnessing, in praying, in reading your word, in giving, God, cause us to do it with all our hearts, with great confidence, even when the world might think this looks silly. Because, Lord Jesus, we believe your word. So, Lord, because we believe your word, we're going to obey your word. We're going to go and make disciples of all nations. We're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything you've commanded us to. Because you've promised, and we believe it, that you are with us always. So, God, go with us. Help us. I just have a burden tonight as well to pray for anyone who just feels dry. Say, end this Easter holiday. Maybe you just feel dry because you've been busy in it, or dry because you've been lethargic in it. And I'd like to pray for a fresh filling of God's Spirit. If you just want to raise your hand and almost raise both your hands just in front of you, and just as a symbol that you want fresh filling of God's Spirit tonight, just do that right now. And I'm just going to pray for just fresh anointing. People were doing this for me before the service, and it was so wonderful. Lord, you see these hearts that are open to you. The ones who are coming to you tonight and saying, God, I need you more in my life. Loving Heavenly Father who loves to give the gift of your Spirit to those who ask. Come and fill them. Drench them now. Come and meet their deepest need. May they know they're loved. May they know joy and peace and kindness and self-control and patience welling up within them because the Spirit's at work. So, Father, we ask that we would be a church which rely on your word and your Spirit, because without them we can do nothing. Thank you for these amazing gifts. Hallelujah. Amen.